Shalom, shalom.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're on the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show here out of Phoenix, Arizona. We're also simulcasting to Periscope on the IUIC Arizona Periscope channel. All right, so spread the word. A little bit tardy today, some technical difficulties, but we're here. So all praise to the Most High Christ. And I'm really excited. I'm Captain Yahshua, as usual, and we have, of course, for me,
Captain Aquarius, shalom.
And I don't know, I feel like I want to give a list of accolades for you brothers, bro. You brothers. Yeah, I'm trying, bro, I want to put some respect on it, bro. I mean, you know, listen, maybe you don't hear it a lot. I know I don't hear it a lot. You know, the Lord watches, but, you know, y'all appreciate it, brothers. So, you know, y'all put a lot of labor in, man. So, go ahead and introduce to my right. Oh yeah, let's put some respect on you.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, we got Officer Arrell. Hey, well, at least let him see your fist on the camera, bro. Give the shalom. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We got Officer Arrell out of Atlanta over here too. So,
sorry,
you know,
sorry.
Just like the Officer Mariah was promoting the show, and he said, as if Phoenix needed more heat, we got a heat wave coming next
that's
week.
That's right.
We bring in Atlanta, it's burning into the building.
That's right. Putting in that work every time.
Yeah, man.
Hey, and we appreciate you brothers too, man. You know, you two brothers have been around for a minute.
Laboring for us.
So, we're looking to you brothers as father figures and big brothers. So,
that's humbling, brother.
Yeah. The Most High.
Definitely is, man. Like I said, a lot of times we don't hear it, and it's not necessary, man. I know y'all can appreciate it when I say it, man. It's like there's just a fire inside of you that just, it becomes just normal. Like, it's abnormal to not be pushing forward and trying to spread this truth.
That's right.
So, you know, that's what put us where we're at, right? Yeah, it feels weird. You're like, well, you know, what have I done for the Lord lately?
Yeah.
You know?
That's the question we always ask.
Hey, you're right about that, bro. And I don't even just mean in Israel, right? Because supposedly Christianity is all about spreading the gospel.
Yeah.
They don't be asking that question either. What have they done for the Lord lately?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very self-directed, selfish type of thing.
Yeah.
The way they do things. They don't have the emphasis on spreading this gospel to the four corners.
No.
Because they don't really believe, bro. It's
their emphasis is on covetousness. Yeah, their emphasis is on about your 10%.
Yeah,
I'm evil, which is nowhere in the Bible. Uh-huh. Right over here.
And when you think about it too, the disciples gave up everything to follow Christ.
Right. Like,
what has the modern day Christian given up to follow Christ?
Nothing. Nothing, because it's accepted.
Right.
All right.
Right.
I remember first coming into this, man. You running around because you just so excited about you trying to spread the word.
Not that anybody.
And people are like, it's like you trying to tell them, yo, try some meth. But that's how like is you come into them with this same book that they profess to like have studied and read
and believe
and you're giving them proper understanding, right? And they like it's like you really offering them like some illicit opioids or kind of crazy drug or something like that.
All of a sudden you become the devil.
Right about that part. That goes to show you how strong the spirits are that we have on us. Those desires that we have, sin is like comfortable, you know. It's like it makes you. Hey, I always say, man. I remember one time watching Paul Moody in stand up. I think you were there with me when we saw it that day, and he was up there just going over some stuff, and somehow he got on the topic of the Bible, and he goes, "You know what the problem is with the commandments?" He goes, the commandments put a foot in your ass.
That's true.
And he goes, and that's why people don't like it. And that's why people don't like it. And I'm sure y'all have experienced this. And I'll never forget the day one time we was over there in camp in New York in the Bronx. And we had a sister there that was listening. We going over the history, man. And she was all in it. And she was like, oh, my God. She was like, she says, you know, all this time, you know, I would hear so much negative stuff about y'all. And you know, I'm wondering, like, why people got a problem with you. Like, I don't get it.
Oh,
so Deacon at that was up. He goes, Oh, I'm going to show you why we have, why people have a problem with us. Deuteronomy 22 and 5. And he brought out the law of the dress code for the sister. And she's like, to save face, she stayed like maybe like 5 more minutes. And as the laws kept coming and coming, she was like, all right, I got to go. And she bounced.
Hey, interesting enough, you brought up Paul Mooney, man. He mentioned that, right? But he ain't doing for commandment one himself.
No, no, but it's but
he's keeping it real.
Yeah, but at least he's keeping it real. Like, that came out pretty good, you know?
And also, too, you have to remember, a lot of times, these men, these sisters of so-called highest, they heard us bring out the word.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because
right.
What preacher is bringing out the commandment?
Mm-hmm.
None. So he's heard the Israelites bring out the commandment mm-hmm. and seen the power in the rebuking at the gate. Big seed. That's why I hate them.
Right. Hey, so much so that you even got a lot of these Christian pastors, mostly the Jake ones, all right? And when we say Jake, we're talking about people of Native, Hispanic, or so-called like African-American, Black descent, you know, the scattered remnant of the 12 tribes, all right? Because we might have listeners tuning in that don't understand that term, right? So we speak in terms of, you know, that kind of we understand and study the scriptures, but... Right. What's the English term for that? We need to use colloquialism sometimes.
Or
layman's terms. Correct. Right. So I know a lot of times we say that, but it just dawned on me now. We say Jake. And who's Jake? Who's this Jake character? Jake is your TD Jakes.
Right.
Your Juanita Bynum. Your general pastor at your church. All right.
It's still Jake.
They're still Jake. Right. So they are starting to talk about. You know they watching us because they talking about the history,
yes.
which is how we started this show and you know we'll get into some of that. You know I've been reading kind of the episode info. There's only the second show that we're doing. I've been reading the episode info, and I figure that's the best place to start for us, right? Because we could come in kind of, you know, hitting the laws all day, but. We have to really put out that, remember what repentance is for, according to the Bible. It's not, like what we were talking about last night with, was it Nehemiah 13 and 1, right? It's not that Ammon and Moab got to keep the laws. It's not that Esau and Ishmael got to keep the laws, right? There's a set apart people, a peculiar people that this Bible is for. And it really starts with that foundation, right? And just when you read about, like, the Valley of Dry Bones, right, and that the bones come up and then the skin come upon them,
the sinews,
there's an order that this thing happens. And then so you create the mold, and then we got to breathe life into it by giving the commandments, right?
That's right. I mean, here's the bottom line. I know, Captain Joshua, he jokes with me about this a lot, but you got to ask yourself, the Bible – talks about one nation a lot of times. How many times? 2,847 times.
Yeah, he knows the precise amount.
I remember. Yeah, you remember that, right?
Yeah.
He was ongoing. Right. He told you that, right? I told you that, right? Yeah, a long time ago, too. Right? Because that boggled my mind. And like I say, this Bible here is 1,000 pages. So that means, and I'm not even including the book I was in it to begin with, all right? But 1,000 pages, all right? And that means that the word Israel is mentioned 2.5 to 3 times per page.
Right.
So you got to ask yourself, who's this person that this Bible, who's this nation that this Bible keeps? If God is for everybody,
right.
Who is this nation that is, keeps getting promises
right.
and keeps saying, and that the Most High continues to have mercy on?
Right.
You know? And, you know, Deacon Athan, he always said this, and it always stuck in my mind. There's no way in the world Israelites ain't Black, Hispanics, and Native Americans.
Right.
Because they act just like Hispanic and Native Americans.
Just like, yeah. The spirit of this book fits the Native Americans, Black and Hispanics with people.
What I'm going to doubt. It's just so I just see that as a show.
It absolutely does, even from the standpoint of the customs that our people were keeping, even in ignorance of who we really were.
Right.
So, meaning, in absence of acknowledging that we are Israelites, we've done things that were scriptural. Like you look at the book by James Adair, The History of the Native Americans, right? I have that book at home. And he basically broke his book out by, his case was obviously testimony that they gave that sounded like, you know, biblical history. But additionally, it was in the customs and the similarities of the customs of the Native Americans to the customs of the Israelites.
And they had nothing to do with the customs of the Asians on the other side of that Pacific, the Pacific coast over
right.
on that side.
Exactly.
Had nothing to do.
Right.
Their culture was totally separate from the customs that the Native Americans had.
Right, because you hear that argument sometimes,
yeah.
right?
They came from the
Pacific. They came from the Pacific. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Moab is...
right. And, you know, that's a good point, man. We don't bring that up enough. Because Asian history, right, is very supposedly well documented. I say supposedly because all these things are tainted to some extent. Right?
Dynasties and all that.
But they have probably as good a documentation as you do for the Romans, for the Greeks, and even like the Egyptian empires, right? Because they talk about the Egyptian
right.
dynasties, right?
Right.
So I think of the Egyptian dynasties because that's the word they use for the Asian dynasties, right? Moab,
right.
the Ammonite
yeah.
dynasties. So they have history documented for hundreds of years. So it's not like it's new customs. So if this Bering Strait theory was accurate, because it's just a theory, then how come we don't have customs that are similar to that?
Thank you. That's my point.
Yeah. Oh, that was heavy. See? Well, if you say nothing else, bro, you brought some fire with that. You took a fire hose and
trimmed. Yeah, no
thanks for tuning in.
With that, we say, you know,
yeah,
think
yeah.
about that one.
Where was the Native Americans, so called Native Americans, keeping customs like Buddhists?
Right.
Where the hell is that?
Right.
That's
right. How come they weren't dressed like samurais and being ninjas?
And monks.
And yeah, and practicing a hierarchy like that
yes.
versus a
yes.
tribal hierarchy. Why weren't
yes.
they practicing things like that? If that's where they came over from,
right,
you
right.
know? But I'm telling you, man, that thing has holes in it all over. But last week we spoke about it a little bit when we interviewed the professor in Puerto Rico, Dr. Reynal Rodriguez, and we discussed in general kind of the whole field of epigraphy, which is the hieroglyphs and things like that.
For those that didn't tune in, he's a professor of archaeology.
He's a professor of archaeology.
Right, so
he's
not a regular chick. Yeah. Oh no.
Yeah. I didn't go up. I didn't go down the corner down here like on Indian school up to 17
right.
And just go up to somebody
right.
and
random
say
brother, yeah.
some random brother, you know.
Yeah.
Ray,
yeah.
Ray now Rodriguez is not our cousin. Okay.
Right.
I mean, in the sense that, you know, like we say in modern
yeah.
times, obviously, for Ephraim, he's our tribesman,
right?
right?
Over 27 years. Wow.
But 20-something years is the point
right.
I'm saying. He says over two decades he's practiced that field, and he's had to do so because when you operate in anything that he so puts up, you got to do that from this perspective of their rules and their guidelines. But you could tell he feels a little frustrated with that process. So
yeah.
the point that I'm trying to make and what he got to when he talks about that Bering Strait theory and theories in general with the scientific community by and large, but it just stood out in my head because it made so much sense for me personally because I've always loved science, right? I just had this thing where I excelled at it. It was something that fascinated me because I just always had this level of curiosity. And coming into this truth, you got to balance that with what the Lord says, right? Because
Absolutely.
Because they put these things in your head like that, you know, how the earth goes around the sun. The Bible tells you different. They tell you that the moon lights because of the reflection of the sun, but the Bible tells you different,
right.
all right? And it made so much sense. And what he said is he said science and the scientific community is actually much more dogmatic than religion and religious groups, right? And that was heavy for me. Like, when he said that, like, man, I was just like, wow. And I started to think about it, like, you know, like time froze for a second and all these thoughts went through my head real quick. And I was like, damn, you know, that makes so much sense. They are so adverse to change. If you don't come to them with theirs, and they try to say it's because they're holding to a standard to avoid, like, you know, quacks and other stuff like that. But it really just stems from the term that I use, and sometimes you hear is sacred cows, where something has just been said for so long and nobody's touched it again, that it becomes fact.
Yeah.
And the Bering Strait theory is one of those things because I wrote a paper in school years ago about the alternative theory. And to my surprise, because I had to cite sources and stuff, I couldn't just spew my opinion, there was so much information and there were actually many in the scientific community that have proposed an alternate theory. They did not mention the scriptures. That's the element that I brought
right.
into that paper.
Right, right.
But what we read in Ezra's and what we read last week and going over 2 Ezra 13, 40-47, jives up with this new theory. And I forgot exactly what it was called because it was years ago. But there's an alternative theory that was proposed, mm-hmm. and there's some in the scientific community that want it, but it's not embraced by the whole. So
it's,
right.
it's, puts to the top.
Right. And to me, I think that's the biggest flaw when it comes to that stuff, because they'll tell you that's the biggest advantage to their scientific process, that it has to be peer reviewed. But what you're saying is that it's based on the consensus of what others hold.
Right.
And they'll tell you that there's not bias or whatever, but because of how dogmatic it is, because of the things they hold on to, the same way we revere the forefathers, or, you know, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, you know, as the great prophets, the lesser prophets, they hold these scientists that have come before them in the same type of esteem.
So they're like God.
They're like God. It's religion, bro.
Yeah, right.
They tell you science is not religion, but it's religion.
Right. Well, there is bias, but Psalm 83 says it's bias.
Right. So it's never going to come out, because the way it's going to come out is when the prophets come out and bring out who the true nationality is, blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. So you have to understand that it's part of the whole crafty council that Psalm 83 talks about. All right. Conveniently, they're never going to go ahead and say, to the point where, going back to the stones that we found with the Hebrew writings out of Puerto Rico, our professor found, actually, not us, all right? And he said that nobody wants to actually even touch it.
Damn. Right. Let me just say one thing. The term that he used, and I'll let you talk, Kat, he says they automatically, there's two things I want to point out that he also said. He said they automatically presume everything to be false.
So
a find like that until you can prove it by their process. Mm-hmm. And the other thing he said is that things like that about that goes against like that very straight theory about, you know, people have coming from what's known as they say the Middle East, but, you know, we know that's not really an accurate term. But, you know, that side of the world, all right, the Eastern world, what anything that comes up along those lines, like those stones and everything that he brought out, mm-hmm. they call pseudoscience. He goes, they see it in the same vein as Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster.
And UFOs.
And it gets very hard to get anybody to even look at it, because they won't even waste their time, because they're more concerned about their reputation if they would start to study something like
that. So you know what it's like. You know what that word pseudoscience is like. Like calling up black people is like.
Right. It's a misnomer.
Or racist.
Right.
Same thing. Once you think pseudo, okay.
It's another term to discredit. Right. You were going
to
say something, Kat.
You remember the show that Glenn Beck did?
Yeah.
Right. We mentioned him about those stones, Las Lunas, Decalogue stones in Mexico, whatever. He said, go to museums. They have this Boston or whatever.
Yeah, Boston. And they
display them, but they tell you they're fake.
My friend, you mentioned Boston. He mentioned Harvard has
this. Yeah. That's what it was. It was Harvard. So even Harvard had some of the stones that he found. So, it was Padre Navarro.
Yeah, Nazario.
Nazario.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was Navarro. Okay, so they call them the stones of the priest Nazario, mm-hmm. because he was the one that, like, found them. I mean, we went over this a little last week, but essentially what he said was, it was a priest that was doing, like, you know, ministry out in Puerto Rico. No, but what happened was, the story goes is that there was a sick local Ephraimite woman, and she was on her deathbed, and she told him about this cave where they have stones, and that there's history there about the Taino people. Mm-hmm. And he went and started digging, and he found the stones, and basically his collection was originally 800 stones.
Mm-hmm.
And people were coming and trying to take them. So, but they basically try to say that he wrote them, like the people who try to, you know. But the professor was showing us how the weathering is not weathering. Like, it's stuff that you couldn't accelerate the weathering, not in that time anyway. You know, maybe if people say, well, technology now will make you simulate. You can't simulate weathering stones that were outside or buried or exposed. He kept these stones in his house. People came and would offer him money for them, and he didn't want to, you know, so it's like it makes you question the motivations. If he falsified these, to what end and why, you know? But he was saying that there's stones in Harvard, there's some in the Smithsonian, and they automatically discredit them. He goes, and that's why it's been hard. He says he just wants somebody to go on record and say yay or nay. Out of his own mouth, he said that it's Phoenician Aramaic writing. Like, it will remind you of in that regard. He goes, he's not an epigrapher, so he can't go officially on record and say that, but in his opinion, all right, that's what it is.
Yeah, he wasn't
stayed, remained professional. He stayed in his lane, which is his profession, and he wasn't irresponsible to go ahead and officially on the record make claims, which, you know, you got to respect that.
Yes.
You know, which speaks volumes. But, you know, he did. You know,
does see that there's an issue. That's the point.
Definitely. In fact, he did. He done it so many words, but yeah, he was leading to that. Because he mentioned, actually, he did mention that if it were to ever come out that it was Hebrew writing, it would change.
He said it would change the course of history. It would change everything.
That's something we saw. Not
a lot, right? A lot of, but it's a fixed fight.
Yeah, yeah. Me and Bishop looked at each other and said, "No, we're like, we know why it's never going to come out.
Right.
We didn't want to break his heart, but we thought nobody's ever going to validate those things for you."
Yeah, that's all.
Exactly. Hey, why don't we read that for the people? Yeah. All right, we haven't really read in scripture yet, right?
Yeah.
So we mentioned it a few times, so maybe the Lord's pushing us to bring that out.
Well, you know what? Right. Before we do that, Catherine, we got John 8:32. I like to always start with that, because at the end of the day, Christ, the Black Messiah for the tribe of Judah, he said something very profound. All right, that a lot of Christians use this, and they and hallelujah and all praises, but they don't see it. They don't know how deep that scripture goes.
Okay. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
All right, because a lot of you Blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, y'all think that you're free because you get up, go to work, right? You making some money. Some of y'all probably live in a more upscale lifestyle. You know, I'm good, I'm a CEO, or I'm a president, I'm a manager. But at the end of the day, brothers and sisters of Black, Hispanic, and Native American descent, all right, you're not.
Right.
And that's what this show is going to bring out. See, we're bringing out here the truth that your schools never taught you, that your pastors never taught you, that your parents weren't able to teach you.
That's right.
Because they didn't know, and their parents didn't know, and their parents didn't know. But you know what? It's high time now for each and every one of you Blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans to learn your true nationality, because the time is short. All right, and Christ said it's very profound. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Y'all don't have physical yokes around your necks, but you have yokes around your mind.
That's right.
Okay,
right.
And your minds are destroyed from the enemy. All right, the other nations, predominantly the Caucasian, who right now runs the whole world. Okay, so read it one more time.
John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free.
The truth shall make you free. You Blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, falsely so called, are not going to be free until the Black Messiah comes and redeems us. But as we're going to go over in the show, there's stipulations that have to take place, that you physically have to do actions in order to be part of that one third, like it's mentioned in Zechariah, that's going to be saved. Yes, only one third is going to be saved
right. From
millions and millions, tens of millions of you Blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans.
Right.
Okay, because we're the majority.
That's right.
Real quick before you read that, because I had said that I would kind of read the description of the show. And, you know, it's like, I don't even know, unless we're addressing something like real specific. I mean, I may just keep the title going for the next few weeks until we get the meat of this part of it out the way. And I'll explain why. So this is, what does the Bible say about Native Americans, Hispanics, and Blacks? Right. This is part two, because last week was part one.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said last week, well, the Bible actually says a whole lot, because the whole book is about Native Americans. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's almost like I picked such a broad topic. Right.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, because even what we're about to read now still pertains to us. Everything we read out the scripture pertains to us. But I want to give a little context to the listeners. All right. Who maybe haven't read the episode info. So it says, biblical scholars have long debated who are the 18 nations God named in the Bible, and much information circulates as to who these nations are today. Rarely is this reflected from a biblical perspective, though, right? So the topic is the Bible and the nations named in the Bible, but you see most people, they tend to go outside of that to identify those things. I said, though the topic is the nations named in the Bible, so meaning outside sources are used more in the biblical context to name the nations today. So today, and you know, maybe over the next few weeks, as we go through it, it says we're going to dive into historical events, key biblical verses. I got what you sent me, Officer Rell. So actually, I'm going to read a little bit about that. All right, he sent me a link. So after we get through Psalms 83, Lord's will, I want to read through that. And it says we're going to use key biblical verses and historical events that correlate with with the Bible to show that Native Americans, blacks, right, so-called African Americans, Hispanics, to include Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, all so-called Latin nations and peoples, are in fact part of the Bible and mentioned from the beginning. You know, we'll occasionally jump to different sources, like I will when I read that article, that link that he sent. But the main source is the KJV, all right, because that's our book. We the authority on that book because it's about us and our people, all right? Anybody going to come with any foolishness on that? We were talking about that last night. That we don't got to validate our book to you, all right?
You got
to
show us how we're validating.
You got to show us how we're
validating
our book. Right.
To prove to us. We already know that this is our book. This is our history.
Right.
You come with the burden of proof to us that this is
that. Because here's the thing that like the gainsayers failed to realize. We have no agenda to get published,
right.
To get acknowledged by the other nations. We understand through the prophecies that we will not be acknowledged until the sky cracks open and Christ comes, all right? And they see his woolly hair and his black skin,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to say, and the angels looking the same way, all right? Mm-hmm. Just like it says in Wisdom of Solomon 5, all right? I need to read that. I need to read that.
Coming down in chariots with the new
bulls. I got to read it because it's one of my favorite scriptures. We'll get back to Psalms, all
right?
I know, sometimes I feel like we go ranting, but trust me, it's not a rant. I gotta read it, bro. Give me 5:1. I love this thing, bro.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5:1. Then shall the righteous man stand in great boldness before the face of such as have afflicted him.
The righteous man is talking about that one third that the captain was referring to here. All right, it's talking about those of the captivity, the 12 tribes, so called blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, indigenous people of this side of the world, all right, that have kept the laws in the faith of Christ. In that day when the sky cracks open and Christ is coming with the angels and the chariots in that formation,
mm-hmm.
that battle formation,
right.
then we are going to stand in great boldness in the face of such have afflicted them,
that's
which
right.
is all the other nations that are not people.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right. And made no account of his labor.
Because they made no account of our labors. Because it's a joke to them what we're doing. This radio show,
yep.
us preaching on the street corners.
Yep.
We know that, like it says in Corinthians, that the foolishness of preaching,
right.
because they say that. We know it's not foolish.
Right.
We know it's effective, all right? Because we got the Lord behind our back with that.
Right. We're spectacle.
Yeah, we're spectacle to them, right? Go ahead, verse 2.
Verse 2. When they see it, they shall be troubled with terrible fear.
Mm-hmm. So those that have kept us afflicted. Because they're going to look at that thing and they're going to say, wait a second, something's not right here. I was like, that don't look like Charlton Heston, all
right,
coming out of the sky.
Right.
That don't look like Jim Caviezel from Passion of the Christ.
That don't look like
the picture that I had
right.
or the statues that we prayed to on the cross. Something's gone wrong, Tom.
Something's wrong, man.
Oh my God, Becky, honey, something is wrong. Go ahead, read.
And shall be amazed at the strangeness of his salvation.
Because what they believe to be UFOs,
right.
all right, what they call all this pseudoscience,
right.
they're going to see this thing and go, wait a second, it looks like these people, it looks like what they call UFOs, and they're taking up these people. Why are they only taking up? No, why is it only taking them niggas in space? Right? What's going on here? Wait a second. When is it my turn? Right? Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to go.
I want to go too. Go ahead.
So far beyond all that they look for. All
right. And we're not talking about, like we discussed last night, like that alt-right elite that
yeah.
they understand and they know these things, right? Your common layperson of the other nations, they buy into all the BS or whatever. So, right. So they buy into all that stuff. So we're not talking about those. See, because those are that alt-right elite. They're going to know that it's that time. Those are the ones that are going to go try to hide in the caves, right? That we're going to have to search out of the bunkers and stuff like
right.
that. But your common, you know, Bob,
yeah.
your common
Biff.
Edomite, Biff, all right, or your Megans,
Biff.
All of that stuff, they're not going to know that. They're thinking, oh, when is it our turn to be taken up? Because even in that moment, there's going to be someone that's going to be like, okay, but you know what? I guess that is Christ.
Right.
But he's black. Well, how come they're only taking?
But I was always good to hold.
Right, right. Yeah, I was always
yeah,
good to hold.
Right.
Yeah. Concepcion, I always tip that Christmas time as for cleaning the house. right? Go ahead, read verse 3.
Verse 3. And they repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit shall say within themselves, this was he whom we had sometimes in derision and a proverb of reproach.
Right? And you know, it says sometimes in derision. We really understand. There's no mistake in the Lord's words. But we say sometimes, because we live in a time now where our people may not believe we're still in captivity. There's a lot of that inclusion. And like I said, that alt-right, the elite of them, they always had us in derision. This is always their claim. But your common one is going to say sometimes, because like you just said,
right.
I was nice to Jose. I was
right.
nice to Concepcion.
Yeah.
I was nice to Jim or John or whatever it was.
But check this out. Check this out. This is heavy right here. They're going to say this is him. Wait a minute. If the Jews, we know supposedly who the Jewish people are, right?
They're in Israel right now.
Right. So why would they say that when that time comes if they already know who the so-called true Jews are? Because it's going to be an amazement to them in that day that, like the other scriptures say, these are them who we afflicted.
Right.
We afflicted.
Right.
Even, wait a minute. We thought that those people in Israel now were the true Jews.
Well, people stand with
Think
them.
About
not,
that.
Not just that. Not just what you're saying, because that's heavy too, right? Because if they knew who the real Jews were, it's not a surprise when they see them being
right.
taken up, all
right?
Right? But the other piece of that is that they didn't have them in derision. They didn't have them in subjection.
Right.
They didn't have them in that. Well, people are like, yeah, I'm pro-Israel. Let's stand for Israel.
Don't give me World War II because
right.
I wasn't that
serious. No,
trust
no. But this is talking about an eternity from
right.
the dawn of time
right.
of the afflictions that we've
right.
gone through.
Right.
Not an 8-year period
right.
of something
right.
happening
right.
justifies this.
That
all right?
Didn't happen
because of this day and age, they are not seen that way.
Right.
We're talking about by and large. Are there some people who are what they call anti-Semitic, which we understand is an inappropriate term when they use that,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's Shemitic. But the point that I'm trying to make is that they do not fall under the curses, all right?
Exactly.
You cannot harp on what you saw happen in World War II. Let's just say it was factual. Let's just say it was 6 million, all right?
Give him 12.
Give him 100. Give him 100. You can even give him 100 and they still won't come close. All right? So that's heavy. That's another way to look at this as well, all right? But read verse 3 again, because this is the part where it just gives me so excited.
Verse 3. And they, repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit, shall stay within themselves.
Because why are they going to be repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit if they knew that those so-called Jewish people are the Jews?
Right.
They wouldn't feel that way. They would feel right and be like, okay, it's just going to take them first and then we're next, right? Because
right.
that's their doctrine, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he will save the Jews. They are the chosen people. He's
right,
going to
right,
take
right,
the rest
right,
of them
right.
too. Right, because we said I'm washed in the blood of Jesus.
Right.
Did nothing else.
Right.
Right? So it says their spirit is gonna be wrought within them. Bro, that means it's a surprise. And the people that they've subjugated the most,
they won't find out.
They're gonna feel, bro, it's like was it Kennedy or one of the presidents where they quote that thing where he goes, what if we find out one
Thomas
day?
Jefferson.
Was it Thomas Jefferson?
Thomas Jefferson?
Where he goes, what if we find out one day that God and the angels are black?
Actually
right?
it was Robert Kennedy. Well,
oh, Robert
that's
Kennedy
that.
Said it.
Yeah,
okay.
I have it right here.
All right,
right. Here.
So he brings up, if you want to look it up, we can read it later. Just
yeah.
just look it up right after we're done with these scriptures. I'd like to bring it out because that's the same type of thing that's going through their head at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, snap. They do look like
yeah.
that. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. All right.
Andrew.
Go ahead. Read.
Well, this was he whom we had sometime in derision. And a proverb of reproach.
Well, they call us zombies, niggas,
spicks,
coons, wetbacks. I mean, every derogatory term out there, and they have it in every language. They have it in every language. There's a derogatory term for our people in every language. All right? Go ahead.
We fools accounted his life madness.
Because that's how they see us now as we preach this. Y'all out of your damn mind. There's no way what you're saying. They looking and grabbing at strings like well, the stuff are good. The stuff that we were talking about last night, how they try to say the drawings with the fringes and they grabbing at straws because they cannot deal with us with our book. But it's above their strength to deal with the most basic things of this. And so that's why they seek to go outside of this because that's always been their strategy. From when we were in captivity and weren't allowed to read and they had to interpret it to us, to even today where now they want us to credit things like a science textbook more than God's word, all right? An archaeology textbook more than God's word. Now, don't get me wrong. We use some outside sources, but to kind of
validate,
it's the cross it helps us deal with them and for where they're at. Because I would say we got to teach people at the level they're at. We can't break down the scripture and not really give the sense, right? Or make it plain, like the scripture says, right? Make it plain upon tables and not deal with them in the language that they speak. Meaning what? They are used to this. This is the way that Esau has conditioned them, the world at large. Is show me a cited source. Show me this, show me that.
Right.
But even that, it doesn't, you know, sometimes it doesn't break through. At the end of the day, we understand it's the Lord that gives the awakening. We just give the message out, right? Which goes back to what I was saying about the agenda. I don't want to get too far off what I'm reading with the scripture here. Our agenda is simply to spread the gospel, and the Lord is going to decide who are going to wake up from that.
Right.
All
right?
It's not for us. There's no magic scripture that we can give. There's no pleading to convince you. Hey, if after we break it down and we know we've done a thorough job and we get the sense and we use different resources or whatever to help try to awaken your senses, you don't.
Hey,
maybe it's not your time, right? It's not, or maybe not at all. That's not for us to determine, but that's ultimately what we do. So there's nothing wrong. You can say whatever you want to say. The burden is not on us to try to prove this. We're not seeking validation, nor do we need it. We already validated because our spirit bears witness with this book.
That's
and that's enough for us.
Right.
All right?
Give me 10:20.
Wait, I don't want to leave my scriptures.
Okay.
Hold on. Go ahead. Finish it.
Verse 4. We fools accounted his life madness and his end to be without honor.
I think of the Book of Mormon where they say that being black is a curse.
Yeah.
Having black skin is a curse, right? They think that our...
Book,
I'm going to tell you right now, man. They ain't an Edomite or anybody from any other nation out there that may truly believe that we all going to make the kingdom, them included, and that they don't believe that they will still be superior in the kingdom. That's why it fits well with them. This is what it means why to be their end without honor, because there's some that will say, no, you're going to make it, and I'm going to make it, but they still think that they would have their position. They think it's going to be the same. They don't realize that this is their kingdom, and if they don't live it up and enjoy it now, they ain't nothing but destruction, sorrow.
I'm saying all the time, hey, if you an Edomite, you need to go live it up. Go take out a $2 million loan, go get a Lamborghini.
Do it.
Go do it. Go on a beach, get a beach house front.
Do it up.
Go live it up.
Do it up. Do it up.
Enjoy it now. This is your kingdom.
Right.
Enjoy it.
Right, right. So there's some that might actually believe that we'll make it. But go ahead.
When we first came, when we landed, we went to the restaurant, a little fast food, I think. No, we went to the Mexican spot.
Uh-huh.
We was leaving, right? You see, Edomite, homeless Edomite on a curb.
Oh, there's a lot of them out here.
Fine.
Bro, it's
two-time
losers. Two-time losers, bro.
So I rolled down the window. I said, so, hey, man, you ever heard the phrase, pull yourself up by your bootstraps?
Oh, that's a cut. That's a cut. Come on, man. Yo, what's up with Judah, bro? Judah should have had the camera out doing that thing, bro. They did my brother dirty like that. Wow.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to wait then. Benji ain't right, man.
That's
hilarious, bro. I wish I could have seen that. But listen, when we read that and it says they consider their end to be without honor, even if they either think we're not going to make it at all, or if we are, that it's going to be the same thing.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. Continue. Read verse 5.
Verse 5. How is he numbered among the children of God?
Oh, man.
How could he be?
That's another curve right there.
Can I tell you something? Yeah. You know how that's true? Because we see that today with all these groups that come against us, that try to say that we're full of it, that we're not.
Yeah.
Bro, we live that now.
Yeah.
That's why, for me, this means that the Most High is not without mercy and compassion, that he's not going to forget our labor of love in the sense that he's going to let us see all those that scoff against us. We're going to hear these things.
Right.
It's going to be like you know, in the last Batman, where he made the thing with all the cell phones that he could hear and see everything all over the city. But this is how I imagine it. This ain't the scriptures, all right? This is how I imagine it. In Lord's will, we do get taken up and we do make it and we're saved from that nuclear fire, all right? We're going to hear all of this everywhere, just random voices. The ones who may have done the most or the worst to us, we're going to have our I told you so moments. Like, I have a vision, like, they're going to be able to look right in my face and I'm gonna be like, Yeah. I told you. You know what I'm saying? How is he numbered among the children of God? Go ahead.
And his lot is among the saints.
Oh, man. Bro, that thing is like poetry to me, man. That thing is just
bad, man.
Bro, I love them scriptures right there,
right,
man.
Right, bro, that thing
is just hot fire, bro.
Woo.
Hey, let me read this right here. Read that for me, all right? So
yes.
Show it on camera real quick, because Parry got it all laminated with the Edomite's face. That's Robert Kennedy, okay? Go ahead.
All right, this is from Robert Kennedy. It says, but suppose God is black. What if we go to heaven and we, all our lives, have treated the Negro as an inferior?
Bro, that's what we just read in Wisdom of Solomon 5, bro.
We just read
Damn.
Solomon 5.
Go ahead.
And God is there, and we look up, and he is not right. What then is our response? I need a picture of this.
Bro, man.
I need a picture of that.
Bro. I feel like mic dropping. Hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a break. We've been running about an hour, so we're going to take like a quick 10-minute break, all right? And then we'll come back. And we'll come back with more. Hey, I told you, see, just in the spirit, bro, Atlanta, I know we've been doing a lot of talking, but Atlanta, I feel emboldened with my brothers here.
That's
bro.
Right.
I'm crazy. All right, so we got to take a little break, all right? We'll be back in about 10 minutes, all right?
All right, so long.
Yeah. Yeah. Put that on the wall.